Yeah.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Finero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever. Are you a believer? Here, as always, with the feverish Finero and FF underscore spaceman. Spaceman, I do your name like the Super Himalaya rider did it at the carnival back in the day, in case I never told you that story.
I'm not even sure if I know who the Super... I don't even know what that is.
The Super Himalaya...
I don't know either.
It's like a carny ride, and it was at the Cherry Festival every summer. And most of my childhood, I think that they had the same person conducting. Is that what that is?
Sure.
They conducted the ride, and he would say, "On the Super Himalaya," and I can't even do it as good. Like, I wish, like, if you're out there, carny from the 80s, hit me up. We'd like a soundbite, because the way he did it was amazing, and that's where my inspiration comes for some of the things I try to do, as crazy as that is. The carny from my childhood ride.
I want to hear it.
That's going behind the curtain.
Yeah.
That is going behind the curtain.
A lot of that. That's what we do here at Rookie Fever. You guys know that.
I like that Rookie Fever shirt you have on, Swags.
You like this shirt?
The, like, hardcore red.
We'll try to find a coupon code, and I will drop those prices as low as that website will legally let me.
Nice.
Because you guys would be surprised how much control they have over that. So we'll try to find some coupons, and we'll drop it down as low as that site will let me. So then it'll be even cheaper. We'll find some 10% off coupons.
Usually there's some sort of special event for a reduction of that kind of magnitude. Is that in celebrating our 2022 rookie profile series coming after the Super Bowl?
Exactly. We'll run that all through the player profiles, or as long as the site allows me to.
That's a long time.
Whoa. They will literally every now and then, like, if you see a sticker disappear, it's because I had the cost too low.
But Swags, the rookie profiles,
making like 2 cents.
The rookie profiles go from like mid-February all of the end of April. You sure that we have enough shirts to supply that kind of demand?
They are infinite.
Infinite? I doubt anything is infinite, but all right. I'm sure the supply infinite. Will
test out. It out. Test yeah, it out, Rookie Fever.
The supply will
show
probably outlast
the feverish Finero that they are infinite. I wanted you to tell them we have the most interested players for 2022 from the 2021 class. The players we think are going to let you down next year from this class. Players that we think are going to surprise you. And players were just flat out confused by.
That sounds fun.
I feel like at some point we're going to lose 5 minutes of the show that we just had there, and nobody's going to know what was there.
Probably not. Some of that was gold, though.
All of my correct takes were in those 5 minutes.
Are you sure it was 5 minutes long?
Yeah, right. Dave just let you know, like, that was the good stuff.
Yeah.
So how many, if any, do you think that we will double up on here? Do you guys think we'll double up on any?
Two
categories? Three. Like
two categories.
Me and then you and Dave, like something like that?
Yeah, at least I will say two categories. At least two of us will be have the same player. Okay. There's one in particular I think is a slam dunk.
I think that definitely I had one in mind as well that I felt like.
Yeah. I am unwavered on one of these four categories.
Do you feel like that one that you're talking about is between you and me?
I don't know.
No. Okay. Let's have Dave. Dave started off then with most interested.
What that's, player?
That's where I think we could collide.
What rookie, Dave, are you most interested in next year? Whatever interested in means to you. What are you most interested in?
Yeah, and Dave, how did you take this?
What does that even mean?
What are you interested in?
So
let's just keep asking Dave questions.
Yeah, I'm Dave, most
what was the part of the show we cut out 5 minutes ago?
The good stuff.
It was too good to talk about. This is too good. Too good. So most interested in, I had a lame joke here. I'm just going to cut the joke. So let's pretend I cut that out. But then most interested in.
Too. Now I want to hear the joke.
Maybe at the end.
Keep him wanting. Yeah. Elijah Moore. For me, he's the most likely wide receiver to jump into the top 12 wide receivers outside of Chase and Waddle. Like, I know Chase is already in there for mostly everyone. And Waddle. So outside of that group or outside of those two rookies, I think he's the most likely to enter that Jalen Waddle range. 18.6% target share, 7 targets per game. 1.7 yards per route run. That's, you know, a great efficiency and volume statistic there. And then 12.7 points per game in PPR. Really solid rookie numbers. He looked like a league winner there for that stretch where he had 3 top 10 weeks in his last five games before landing on the IR. People were concerned that he was just going to be a small slot player and that's all he was going to be in the NFL, but he proved he can do it on the outside and inside. I think he played actually over 70% of his snaps on the outside actually this season. So, and he also was targeted on every level of the field, which was exciting. And yes, he is pretty expensive. He's still fairly, like, I think he's a decently, like, expensive. He's not easy to acquire by any means, but I think it's still, palatable. I don't mind paying that price because of that upside and how good I think he's going to be. And that's the player who I'm most likely interested in. It's really hard to get Jalen Waddle. It's almost impossible to get Jamar Chase right now, but Elijah Moore, I have to pay a lot, but I can get him. And I really like that upside. So, and you guys know I've talked about a lot of the show, 21 year old rookies with that kind of draft capital who had that kind of success in year one, see a pretty decent volume jump in year two. So I'm pounding the table again and going after Elijah Moore.
Hell, he was seeing that volume jump in the second half of the season. You know, the first half was slow coming, but he definitely saw a huge volume jump in the second half of the season.
I got to jump in here just in case Elijah Moore is not Finero's guy because he's mine. I am right here. This is the one I thought was going to be obvious that Finero and I agreed on, completely honest with you, but it's Dave. So just in case, I want to jump in a little bit. And first of all, I completely agree. So I'm going to try to not like be a broken record and say what Dave said, but I have been going out of my way. This is the rookie I'm interested in. And I agree with Dave that price to obtain him is no joke. It's a real, you really have to pay, but I have found, I believe he's obtainable. I've acquired 2 shares this last couple of weeks, really last week for me. I've watched Finero acquire one and I've got a DM going where I think I'm really close. The DM trade I have going right now would be, I don't know what you guys think about this. I don't think you'll mind it, but me giving up Calvin Ridley and Laviska Shenault.
That's great.
Smash.
He said he'll hit accept as soon as he pays his fees. He can't make a trade right now. So we'll see if that happens. Hopefully he doesn't listen to this show. But I think that like something's actually happening here. So I'm going to get away from Elijah Moore, but I agree with Dave. The fever's wearing, this is where I'm going. The price is there, but the fever's wearing off on some of these rookies as we like kind of start segueing away from him. And people aren't looking at everything Dave just spoke of and how good he actually did do with his opportunity. They're just kind of seeing him, his production on the season. But if you start to look at his games and the 28% wide receiver 1 from a rookie is really good, especially when Zach Wilson's your quarterback. And who was the other quarterback some of the time? Mike White.
Was there it was, Mike? There was 4 quarterbacks last year, I
think. Josh Johnson.
So, and he really did very well with his opportunity. Like I mentioned with you guys when we were doing our Rookademy Awards, I felt like he was playing the wide receiver 1 role when he was out there through that stretch. And I think he did really good with the opportunity. I agree with you, Dave. I think he's the closest to Jalen Waddle, but at half the price. And I think he's obtainable right now and get him while you're hot. Like it has that Zach Wilson taint to it. That's going to suppress that price just a little bit.
The Jets taint too. Like what happens if the Jets get a little better? Like I'll talk about that maybe a little later, but
I will too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it too. Not to be agreeable, but yeah, that's right where I'm at, man.
All right, so we have two most interested, Elijah Moore, and I'm the odd man out.
Unless you want to stay here, man, I could talk about Elijah Moore another couple minutes.
So I chose, if I had a category where it was most excited about, it would probably be Elijah Moore. I took interested in a slightly
different. You made the categories, Finero. Yep.
For a reason. I've been talking about Elijah Moore all year. I don't need to talk about him in a whole episode again. Most interested in next year for me, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been saying how interested I am in Justin Fields next year. So Nagy's gone. We get excited, right? Maybe they get defensive coordinator head coach Mac. Help me out, guys. Eberflus?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Thank you. Well, they probably have some cap money to help Justin Fields out, right? Because Josh Allen didn't do Josh Allen things all alone. He had a great coaching staff. He had players. Diggs was brought in. The team supported Josh Allen to help that young quarterback be all he could be. So they're going to do that in Chicago, clearly, right? I mean, they have $24 million under the cap, but they have 30 players that are going to hit free agency, including pretty much every wide receiver that's not named Darnell Mooney, every tight end that's not Cole Kmet. And if that wasn't concerning for a young second-year quarterback, eight offensive linemen are hitting free agency. Oh, no big deal, right? Teams carry 16 of those. That's half. That's half. And they're all probably bench players, right? Like, so the good eight are still available. No. Mm-mm. They're losing Jason Peters, the left tackle. James Daniels, the starting right guard. And, oh, their starting center. I'm very interested to see how Justin Fields is not being supported next year and to see if he can meet what my expectations were before I dug a little, because this scares me a little bit. Am I still interested? I love the player. I really, really do. His long accuracy, his mobility, he's the complete package. I'm concerned a little about the team. I'm still interested, and these are the things I'm going to be looking at in free agency and in the draft. By the way, they don't have a first pick, round pick, or a fourth round pick. They gave those to the Giants.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
The eight offensive linemen, I was not prepared for that. What, and two, you know, so.
And because that's a unit.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to go to. Like,
three starters, man.
It was not a strength of theirs last year. They were like bottom third of the league in offensive line play. And usually you could say, well, you know, at least the returning, there are people, going into next year, they have some cohesion going into next season. That's not the case. Wow, that's not good.
Well, I mean, they're not definitely losing them. They're hitting free agency, so they can re-sign some of these guys. And the three names that I mentioned are going to be their top targets, but they're around 11th in the league for cap space. I mean, it's not fantastic. It's good. I mean, they're not, you know, if they were with some of the teams that are actually with no cap space, then you could just assume these guys are gone. But there's too many names I mentioned here, including the entire wide receiver room. Minus Darnell Mooney.
Expensive on free agency. Like, you have to pay for offensive linemen.
A left tackle, certainly.
So, Feverish, I'm curious, because we asked Dave how he went into this, and then I felt his vibe, and I could tell that I kind of went into the same way. Are you interested in Justin Fields, or interested to see how this plays out?
Interested to see how this plays out. Because I was
in Justin Fields.
Because I was so interested in Justin Fields. Yes, I still am, because, you know, his career is going to be beyond this year. Mm-hmm. And they did make changes all the way at the top. So I'm just, my expectations have been lowered. For this and honestly, dude, because my expectations are lowered and so intensely preparing for this show, he could be maybe my biggest surprise next year if he could overcome this. Because my expectations are much lower now. It's kind of like, when somebody tells you a movie is this incredible, you have to go see it. Yeah. My expectations are so stinking high. The movie almost never lives up to the show, to my expectations. That's why I'm most interested about this. If the reviews could, look bad, man. I hope the movie's good. If you
take a positive from that, though, there's not too many situations like that where a new coach gets to go in and build his team, spend some money. You know, you just pretty much cleared the bench. You cleared the starting lineup. He's got Darnell Mooney and Justin Fields and Cole Kmet. And then he's got to build a team. So, man, there might be some free agents available. But, man, you know, you can't go all in on your whole team and
right.
spend everything on a bunch of vets to try to win it this year. That's probably not feasible.
No, probably not.
You know what's crazy, too, is that people were so excited about Justin Fields. Me, too. I think he was a phenomenal QB prospect, especially for fantasy with his rushing ability, his accuracy. There's so much to like about him. But he landed in a defensive-centric organization who then hires a defensive-centric head coach and who needs a lot of help to maintain. Like, are they going to just try to hit up the defense again in free? Like, are they going to try to make a strength still? Or are they going to try to help out this rookie franchise piece here? It's that you're right. There is a lot of intrigue there.
I think, honestly, that's the only thing they should be worried about is Justin Fields. That's it.
Yeah.
All right, Swag, you're going to take us into
the build around him good, though.
That was such a fun category.
He won't let you down, Finero. Okay. We'll just say that.
I like hearing that.
I don't think he will be in the next category here, which is let you down.
Oh, nice.
Please don't tell me that Mitchell Trubisky was a more successful Chicago QB.
Maybe.
No.
He was picked earlier, so he has to be. Draft capital. Yeah,
true.
So most likely to let you down. I'm going to give you my guy. I went with Rashad Bateman here. He's kind of a tough one, but I think that Rashad Bateman's in a really interesting case. I'll get this out of the way. He's also my confused. So I don't need to double up and talk about Rashad Bateman twice, but I don't mean to skip ahead either, but he's also my confused because I'm kind of confused by what's going to happen in this offense. And if there's ever a different quarterback, I don't think that Lamar is going to be the last quarterback Bateman's tied to. There is a chance that we see Rashad Bateman overtake Hollywood in that offense. And Hollywood got a 1,000-yard season this year. I was surprised by what Hollywood did in that offense, completely honestly. I feel like they're going to run the ball a little bit more next year. The reason I think he's going to let you down, though, within all that confusion, is I think that we're thinking mostly like he's going to be like a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 1. I think he's going to be a wide receiver 3 with that kind of weekly upside. So I think he's going to be very fantasy relevant. He's not just going to fade away to oblivion. But at the position, I'm kind of just concerned about the high expectations. I think he's going to be like the 800 to 900 yard guy in that offense. And I could see a lot of the rushing the touchdowns still going to the ground. And Lamar, I'm going to be always concerned about that in that offense as long as we have Lamar. So I'm also confused by it, though, you know, because, when we were putting this show together, like, one of the categories that came to my head was, like, maybe somebody that we wanted to see succeed. And I want to see all these guys succeed, like, but I'm also not going to shy away from the ones I have concerns with. But, man, if we could see them all succeed, it'd be great. Rashad Bateman, I think, is an amazing talent. I think we saw that in some of his catches and what he did for a quarterback that lacks accuracy like Lamar Jackson. The dude's awesome. Give me another quarterback at least, though. Maybe another offense. But so those are my concerns. I think we have a wide receiver 3 in that offense with weekly wide receiver 1 upside that could win it for you some weeks. So that's where I'm at with it.
I mean, I get it. I think when I'm looking at
it's not that bad. Like I get weekly wide receiver 1 upside with wide receiver 3. Mm-hmm.
Cuz it sounds like you still have hope for him, and I think that's where I'm at too, because again, I think we talked about this recently, so I don't want to rehash, but just how quickly he, after coming back from the injury, was integrated into the offense, target wise, even like efficiency wise. It's you see wide receivers like Rager, you know, an entire season or two, like do almost nothing. Where I'm more excited about Bateman and the limited games he did play this season with that limited role you're talking about.
I agree.
And I think Marquise Brown was clearly the wide receiver number one on this team because he had been with Lamar and he had been on the team for a while. So another year for Bateman, I think that can shift a little bit. Kind of the same thing with the Melvin Gordon. I know it's a different position, but Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, like you start to see a shift as the player matures within that offense and just as a player. So yeah, I get you like kind of going in both ways, like confused because you don't love the offense he's in, and you want to like the player, but talent, at the same time, yeah, you love the talent.
Landing spots are still important to me.
Yeah.
And he's still in that same spot. Like,
and I do think they run more. I agree with you. I think with Dobbins back.
My problem with the let you down, I think if you have him wide receiver 18 or higher as a seasonal finish, I don't care about your dynasty rankings. As a seasonal finish, I think he'll let you down.
Right.
That's kind of just where I'm at with it. So I think he's viable. I do. But I think if those are our expectations, I think you could do a little bit better for the value that he is given. And that's kind of just where I'm at with it. He's probably a player that I'm going to try to find a wide receiver that I like a landing spot for better after the draft and try to move him. Somebody like that. Like, I don't know. Trying to think of a player. Somebody a little cheaper, though, maybe like a Chris Olave or somebody like that. If he were to go to the right spot, maybe I try to do that move now.
2022 rookie talk. Oh, my gosh. Teasing us.
Just a little tease, Dave. But maybe you try to make that kind of move if you wait a little bit. I don't think the Rashad Bateman fever is going anywhere. So that's where I'm at with it.
I agree with that.
I don't think that's that mean or bad to say about Bateman either, to be honest with you.
Dave, who's your likely to let you down player?
Bateman, too. He agreed with me.
I agree with a lot of what you said, Swags, but...
Rondell Moore.
No.
that's a surprise.
Yeah.
No.
Spoiler.
Most of
it's not?
No. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion, so I mean, why would I be surprised? No, I'm just kidding.
Jesus.
No,
go,
so
go do some kicker work.
Yeah, I'm having too much fun here. All right. I need to get ahead of this and say, well, first, it's Javonte Williams is my most likely to let you down.
Ooh.
But I'm going to say that it's nothing to do with this is not me hating on Javonte Williams. He is my my RB5. Yeah, it's spicy.
Definitely.
He's spicy. My RB5 in Dynasty. I think he's a terrific player and he has the talent profile to be a fantasy MVP caliber back. So I think he is very, very good. He can be used in all three downs, great pass catching upside, has power. We saw in that clip for the Academy Awards, he can break tackles, the stats to break tackles, all those things. Trust me, just search Javonte Williams, all kinds of positive things I'm going to say about him. That's just a quick little synopsis. It has to do with his top four dynasty value that he has. He's going in the first round of single QB startups. He's in the second round of Superflex startup drafts, and people are giving up a haul for him. They're trading CMC plus for him. They're trading. I'm not saying I hate that deal by any means. I'm just like those are just. He's very expensive, and there's a pretty it's pretty common sense when there's that much excitement around a player when he's that high up. It's just that much easier to let you down when you're like Finero said, when you get that excited about a movie and people pump it up for you, it's just that much more likely it won't live up to expectations. I think there's a high likelihood. The more I think about it, I know we mentioned this way back in week 4 or 5, but Melvin Gordon could resign. Nathaniel Hackett is coming from Green Bay. They have a history of splitting work with Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, and A.J. Dillon. And out of the top 12 players, just about how I like a lot of these top 12 rookies that are, if we went through the top 12 non-QB rookies, just how much I like them and how excited I am for them. And not that I'm not excited for Javonte Williams, just based on the definition of most likely to let you down and the expectations it came to Javonte Williams. All there is to it, nothing about, I think he's a bad player. You know, RBs can get injured. They have a higher injury rate than some other positions. So that's kind of basically it. Nothing like a rocket science. I don't think he's got bust by any means. I think he actually has a lot of exciting upside. He could be, I said he's an MVP caliber fantasy player. So
let me ask you this. Week one is there and the roster is what it is. I'm trying to think about who was it? Mike Boone and Melvin Gordon's not there and they didn't sign anybody that you're excited about. They didn't draft anybody that you're excited about. Who knows what'll happen? Maybe there's a diamond in the rough, but nobody you're excited about. Does this change at all? Or
yeah, I mean, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, if Melvin Gordon isn't there, maybe I could think of another player who's more likely to let me down. But just about I don't think Melvin Gordon's gonna be terribly expensive. I think he works well, and just how Nathaniel Hackett has that, what his coaching tree has done, that where he comes from, they split the running back carries. So is he going to be a, you know, a 23 point per game type player, which some people think he will be. I don't, that's tough to do. That is hard to do. Najee Harris this year did not do that.
Yeah. Dave's premise too was that letdown was relative to just how high the expectations are, right? If there's no other running back, including Melvin Gordon there, those go even higher. Those expectations are just insane.
I think he's already priced out like that, though.
Almost. I understand, but we talked about just this category of likely to let you down next season, not dynasty value. So, like, just with that premise alone, the premise that the only reason he's going to let you down is because there's this godlike expectations with the draft, with free agency, with all this stuff possible to slow him down. And if that is truly gone, there is no acquired running back in free agency. There is no one picked up in the draft. And Melvin Gordon leaves. Those expectations are insanely high.
What happens if they don't get a quarterback? What happens if, you know, I know everyone wants that.
It wasn't that bad without a quarterback, if we're being honest.
I think
if they don't get a quarterback, Melvin's probably going to look for a different team too.
Yeah, true. But I think people view it as that they're locked in on a QB upgrade.
Right. You know? Yeah. So, I hear you there. Yeah.
Yeah,
get more touchdowns.
So that's it. I mean, hey, I like Javonte Williams. Where would you put him
in your dynasty running back rankings if you could? I mean,
it's like RB5.
Did you say that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
I don't think that's that bad though.
No,
and I mean,
I like him. Mm-hmm. I really do. He's a good player. Yeah. He's a great player.
But he is also a player that I've thought about because I do have a little bit of him here and there. Like sometimes I've been surprised. But he is one of those players that I think, like, what could I do with him? I could probably get somebody that's priced out at half the price that's going to give me similar production and another player.
Breece Hall plus easily. What happened? Breece Hall plus.
Man, you know, I was like trying a good to get plus, Breece too. Hall for Bateman, and I couldn't do it. I felt like it was close. I couldn't find the piece to put in there. Fenero wants Bateman.
No, I mean, no, I don't think, no.
Breece Hall. I was like, "You're stupid." What kind?
Breece Hall's
kind
of a top three.
Was that
top three
like,
rookie?
Why would you send somebody?
Breece
that
Hall's
offer?
A top three
that
rookie.
Fenero's
pick.
Actual face. Like, what kind of shit offer did you send this person?
In Superflex? I wouldn't take it either. I don't think Bateman's worth the 103.
What do I have to add to it?
Stuff. Go for like Go for like Kenneth Walker.
Stuff.
He's not a big enough name yet. But he will get to Javonte Williams type hype. Go for that player. Don't go for the one.
That's the only one I want.
I'll say
I can't wait till Javonte Williams people get a hold of that and they're like, you hate him.
Oh, dude, I actually respected your argument on the drop, but you just led with like 50 words about how great he was to start off.
Yeah.
Like, don't keep going back to how great he was. I think that was they were legit things that you were talking about with the coach change, how the coach uses Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams when he was over there. Like, I thought you made some really – and then it's just the argument that let you down doesn't necessarily mean isn't a fantasy asset. It just means your expectations are too high.
I have been labeled as a hater in the past. Fenero's
going to grade all of our arguments.
Yeah. I'm critiquing them as we go, so you'll know your grade.
Fenero.
He was literally that argument away from an A+.
With the exception of Justin Fields, who's going to let you down?
So this is a player that some people won't say is a letdown or won't be a letdown next season because they don't have any expectations for him, unlike a New York Giants fan that is hoping that Kadarius Toney could be something more than maybe he will be. Just last week, ESPN insider Jeremy Fowler believes Toney is an under-the-radar trade candidate.
Yeah, I saw that.
And to keep an eye on that this season. Everything Swags has been pointing out, I've been trying to just look the other way, thinking, okay, so some questionable social media interactions. He's freaking young. He made a mistake. That doesn't make him a bad player. There's tons of not-so-great players that are great on the field. The numerous injuries, this is the one that affects me. Availability obviously does, but also it's the – I feel like there's a problem with them, like that people are talking about and it's leaking out. And it's basically the attitude and basically willingness to do. You have to work so hard in the NFL to be good, let alone great. And the expectations for a first round draft pick should be at least good. So I'm just afraid that he's going to let me down next season. We have a change in coaching staff. You think maybe that would be a good thing, but I don't know. He flashed with the old one.
Doesn't sound like that coaching staff wants him, though, like you said.
That's what I mean. They're not tied to him in any way. Neither is the GM. They had nothing to do with him being there. So if he's just a bad apple, he could be made example of. Okay, you want to act like this? Look, he's a first-round pick. He's gone. And then just start to right the ship with Tony. I'm just really, really nervous I'm going to be let down on Kadarius Toney. And not just let down, but let down in a big way.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say.
Who's Jeremy Fowler anyway? Has he ever gotten anything right? Come on. No, I'm just kidding.
Dave just gave me a B-.
Oh, no. I'm not even going to tell you that. No,
we're not grading yours till after the show finale. No, I mean, you know that he's somebody that I already have kind of had that feeling for. So I don't even want to beat the dead horse. I saw that too, Finero, and kind of thought like, ooh, here we go. You know, like this might happen. For me, if Kadarius Toney is in New York week one for the Giants, the only way I'm interested in him to get me points in 2022 is if I have return yards in my fantasy, in my league. Honestly, that's the only way I'm interested in him getting me points in 2022, getting me points. Not saying anything else, not trying to throw shade. You know how I feel. But I that's the only way I'm interested in Toney for points.
I think he just beat a dead horse.
I don't think he
that was the most backhanded way to do it. I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but I'll tell you like that. How I'll be
every
interested.
Now and then, like I look at enough like of my leagues and stuff that's going on to see like irrelevant players having lots of relevancy just because of return yards. So I know it sounded bad, but I sometimes teams draft players because of that skill set.
Sure.
Even in the first round.
Yeah. He made my initial list, like my initial cut down list of people I considered here too. I have to tell you guys, someone who I replaced the last minute in this category, Pat Freiermuth was on this list as someone just because of how excited people were. And he like, look at it, very TD dependent. I'm worried about the QB situation and everything like that. And just how, again, the same argument, how excited people are. Not that and you know how, you know, sort of like with TJ Hawkinson, how there's been a lot of hype around TJ Hawkinson. And people almost feel let down from how he's been, but he's been solid. TJ Hawkinson was very solid.
Yeah.
But the hype has made it feel like he's not the player he's been. And the
injuries too. And
yeah. Being so that's it. That's it. I like, but I see, I almost put a bad taste in my mouth saying it out loud, but I felt compelled to say it.
Dave just threw up in his mouth. This is the one I had the most trouble with. And that the category is most surprise. And completely honestly, I didn't know exactly what direction I wanted to take my surprise. If I wanted to be something, I'm going to be surprised that they fail or surprised that they succeed. But curious to see what direction you guys went in this. Feverish, what is the surprise that you are unwrapping?
I think you're right, right? Surprise could be like moving way up from where they are now or moving way down from where they are now, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I took it. Like, you know, kind of like a large movement in one direction or the other. Zach Wilson, he did disappoint for a second overall pick in the NFL draft. He absolutely did miss four games with a PCL injury, so he has that. But he threw for 6 touchdowns and 11 picks in the games he did play. And he did have a lowly 65.3 passer rating. So why did I pick him for most likely to surprise? Well, the floor is pretty low. and he has some excuses to go back to. Mekhi Becton, his left tackle, only played one game all season, so his blind side wasn't very protected. But I noticed him starting to build chemistry with Elijah Moore at the end of the season, when Elijah Moore was basically a starting wide receiver, if not the starting wide receiver, for the Jets by the time Wilson came back. And unlike Chicago, when I mentioned all those issues about surrounding Zach Wilson, the Jets are actually probably able to build around Wilson as soon as next year. They have the 5th most money under the cap for free agency with over $35 million and draft capital, 2 firsts, 2 seconds, 1/3, and 2/4. That sounds like a team that could help build around Zach Wilson and take that low, low, low floor and surprise you.
Yeah, I like it, Finero. I toyed with the idea of having Zach Wilson as my guy, but I didn't feel like dealing with the gripe that I felt like I might get if I put my name on him too hard, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I know that that sounds weak. I'm just being honest. So I love that you brought him up. I think that he's one that I could definitely see maybe snapping out of this first bad season with some obvious concerns moving forward.
Sure.
He's my QB5 from the 2021 class. The
offense looked better without him, yeah. To be honest.
He changed a little bit up, though, in that when he came back, remember we talked about a lot about him not just trying to play gunslinger and hero all the time, trying to play within the offense a little bit?
Yep.
I would love for them to work on that in the offseason and really make that a priority and have him play within the offense. That'd be really exciting.
I think if we saw it, they saw it.
He's the easiest to obtain. I don't hate that surprise.
It's just how coachable is he, Dave? You know, is that his instinct to do what you just said?
Did you see those dimples, dude? You can coach dimples.
Yeah, he does look like he was in a boy band, doesn't he?
You can coach dimples.
He was almost on my to fail, but I also feel like it wouldn't be a surprise because everyone hates on him a little bit. So I wouldn't. That's why I don't think he fit that category. So I don't mind it. Yeah, he could definitely surprise. Like what happened? You know what? Like Josh? No, I won't say that. That's anyway.
He's probably not going to be Josh Allen.
Look at Josh.
Shoot.
I still have hope, but it's probably not gonna be Josh Allen. who are you? Which way did you take this, Dave?
I was actually pretty bland with my, I guess I guess Javonte Williams was a little spicy, but I took this totally like who I think is going to surprise people and then gain value or just do better than people think. And it's another Jet, Michael Carter. The RB position is a wasteland in Dynasty. I think it really falls off. He falls in around that RB24 range, low end RB2, high end RB3 for people. And he has that all purpose skill set, or at least he has that pass catching ability that people love for fantasy, especially in PPR. And in his rookie season, 5 of 13 games were top 24, in PPR. And he did only see 52% opportunity share. So he was not a work by any means. He was not a workhorse. He just wasn't a huge part of that backfield, but he was kind of like the one, like maybe the first, he had the first knock or shot at it, but he wasn't the primary by any mean. And like I said, and this is going back to what Finero said, what happens if the Jets improve? He listed all the ways that they can improve, but what happens if that offensive line gets a little better? And what happens if Zach Wilson gets better and he targets him out of the backfield a little bit more, trips to the red zone?
Yeah.
And, you know, with that pass catching ability in fantasy football and maybe the negative gains, like, you know, and they're playing from behind, they ran him at the goal line a bunch at times last season. I think there's especially with how running backs work, he could definitely work his way into a high end RB2. No sweat. And then with that Jet stink, the Jet stink is just very there. I think it's probably one of the most looked down upon organizations out there.
I think it's jerseys.
Yeah, the green is, you know, trashy.
I don't know.
Yeah, gangrene. But we, you know, what happens if things actually start turning around? Robert Saleh does, you know, the offensive line improves, and just I just could see a lot of that. That could be, he could surprise people. The category is surprise. And what if things just didn't go the normal way it does for the Jets, and things actually turned around a little bit?
And they're probably not going to draft a running back or sign one.
I couldn't find it. I'm like, I feel like I'm missing something, and that's what it was. Is that why would they invest in a running back? And there's not a ton. I mean, there's some like mid round RBs that they bring in, but he has that skill set.
Yeah.
He has that opportunity where he was very productive in college sharing with Javonte Williams. Why he can do 50% opportunity share, go, you know, 1B to someone's 1A and be an RB2, no problem, because he has that ability. So I think not only can he surprise people, but it's kind of feels a little safe too.
And this running back class isn't really that great. We mentioned Bryce Hall. Yeah, it's just I don't know. I don't know what to do with my picks right now. I feel like I'm gonna have to use my later picks on wide receivers this year.
I know Michael Carter's feverish boy too.
Elijah Moore and Michael Carter were two draft hits, right? I think we can agree that they were where they were drafted and what they returned in their first year. I think part of what Dave said earlier was that what if the Jets go in the right direction? What if the Jets improve? I think they've already started that. I think they started it last year in the draft. I think they're going to continue it with all those draft picks and that cap space this year. So be in front of that upswing on some of these players.
Yeah.
Cash in on that. whatever you called it, yeah, dirty, you guys green had me jet thing. Too.
I mean, I don't have any Michael Carter. I have teams where I could definitely use a running back. He might be somebody that would fit the bill for my RB3, RB4 in a couple situations. Like, Feverish, I have a team in mind. You won't give me Josh Jacobs. So, if Fintanero's going there now to go get Michael Carter. But yeah, I don't hate that one at all. Especially for, I mean, I don't think you're asking a lot, Dave, but still a little bit of a surprise. But yeah, it could definitely help some fantasy teams.
And we haven't talked about him a ton on Rookie Fever, I don't think. So it's good to, you know, so it's kind of good to bring up his name.
So my surprise is Trey Sermon. And I know this is so gross, but my surprise is really based around the fact that I wouldn't be surprised by anything that Shanahan does at this point. I do not have conviction behind this. Trey Sermon's nothing more than a throw-in at this point, even if you add him to your team. Like, I don't even want you to drop the wrong person to have him be a throw-in on a trade. But I think that's all he is. So, I mean, if I can add him to a team for some running back depth to see if maybe he surprises me and finds some good grace in that offense, I still don't think we all know exactly what happened with that situation. We want to just say he sucked, but I think there's a little bit more to it, and I wouldn't be surprised if we've seen him get some more opportunity next year. Again, not a lot of conviction. I have no offers out to even add Trey Sermon to my teams, but when I was thinking about this, I was completely surprised by Mitchell. Mitchell did really good. So Elijah Mitchell is going to be around, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the next injury that happens to Elijah Mitchell, Trey Sermon's the one we see.
As of right now, that's how the roster will crack up, because Mostert's gone.
But like I said, not a lot of conviction. Yeah. Like,
he won't say.
Nothing I'd even debate. Like, anything you'd say to me, I'd probably just know you're right on it. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm just talking like a cheap throw-in. I wouldn't be surprised if something happened down the line with Trey Sermon, but certainly a disappointment this year. And that would go to most confused. I already revealed my confusion.
Yes, you did. So my prediction at the head of the show was that we were going to overlap. At least two people were going to overlap in two different categories. I believe we only have the first category with Elijah Moore and you two. So there's been no other overlap. This is the one I thought was a locked overlap, because there isn't a single player in this rookie class that, if you take how I felt about them coming in and how I feel about them now, I'm more confused about. And that's Trevor Lawrence. Like, what the hell happened? I know we're going to say the coach. We're going to say the offensive line's like okay. We're going to say Chark was never healthy. He was deemed a generational talent, and we saw so very little. What we saw was 25th in completion rate. What we saw was a QBR of 71.9 tied with Sam Darnold. What we saw was somebody tie for first in interceptions. I mean, normally I'm not too concerned about a rookie throwing interceptions, because he's got to go out there and make mistakes to learn, but I don't think you want to lead the NFL in it. 10 touchdowns, 17 interceptions on 602 attempts. They weren't hiding them, Swags. They weren't hiding them, Spaceman. That's seventh in the league in attempts. It wasn't like they were just kind of like babying him through, and that's why he only has 10 touchdowns and 70 interceptions. This guy confuses the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Long hair. He died for us to get rid of Urban Meyer. You know what? He sacrificed himself so to get rid of Urban Meyer. He sucks. It's
the only thing that makes sense.
That's a good point, though, Dave. Because, I mean, did you see? I mean, he grew it back out, but Herbert caught fire when he cut his hair last year.
I was upset with him.
But he got hot, and he kept it going, and then he grew it back out, and all is well. Maybe Trevor Lawrence just needs a fresh cut, grow the beautiful locks back out whenever he's ready.
I hope you're right.
I want to give him another year, and I'm not saying you're cutting bait here.
No, I'm confused, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So the last thing this category meant to me is I'm cutting bait.
Just in shambles, though. Like, just in shambles. Like, the whole team turned on the coach. I mean, it's not too often a rookie has the moxie to turn on the coach.
Yeah.
And it was that bad. So I get it, though, man. I really do, but
I just feel like there should be more than the final game of the season.
More than all the bad things. Yeah, that was a lot of stuff. Yeah, you just really threw a lot more of stuff. Like, he's in that's not very good stuff. Any other quarterback would get a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I'm trying to find, and I heard all the answers. I told you them back. Like, I know what the answers to that confusion is. It's like there was just nothing around him, but where's the flashes? Show me a flash. That last game to me, I don't know. That's not enough.
Flashes in the fog. You need some flashes in the fog, right?
Yeah.
The fog of your misty confusion.
Looks like FF Spaceman wants to help.
He actually was very close being my most confused about too, Finero. But then I thought about the coach, Peterson. He really did innovate. He pushes the envelope. I think, and there's a lot of pieces on that team where I think there's potential. DJ Chark, I'm not acquiring him anywhere in fantasy or anything, but I thought he was a good player. I really did. I thought when I saw him, just the eye test, I thought he looked good I looked good.
I think he's a free agent.
Yeah, he is.
Oh gosh. Well, bring him back. I'm sure they have cap room. Come on. It's the Jags. But, the ETN potential, decent offensive line. Like, just there's just players on that team, the offensive line. I really think that Doug Peterson can use him well for him to succeed. So that's what helps me sleep at night, because I think I'm excited about Doug Peterson. Considering that Balky's still there, I'm optimistic.
The Jaguars have the second most money under the cap with $48 million. So they can definitely afford Chark if they want to keep him.
Do you guys start to get worried about Doug Peterson and how, like, James Robinson Travis Etienne could play out, though, after, like, seeing how he's ran his offenses?
I don't like him there at all.
Like, does that worry anybody at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Worries me, man.
Yeah, but for Trevor Lawrence.
No, I'm not really worried about Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. I can see everything Finero's saying.
I can make it more confusing, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
He's like, I got more.
You could also say too, it was Frank Reich who did a lot of it. That was always that worry. I think
it was a lot of that.
Dave, was your confusing Rashad Bateman?
It was from the top rope. The predictions remains true. We have a repeat. It is Rashad Bateman. It is my most confused.
Nice. You were right, Finero.
You were right, Finero.
Rookie trivia.
He was a lot of people's favorite wide receiver outside of Chase. You guys remember the Rashad Bateman hype? There was people loved him. They gushed about his film. They gushed about his metrics. And he got the draft capital. There was opportunity in Baltimore. I know there was the injury and everything. But then he came in and in his first stretch, 3 out of 4 games. And Finero talked about it, like how they just integrated him in over 10 fantasy points in 3 out of those first 4 games. But then 3 games in a row, and then he also had a 20% target share during that stretch. But then 3 games in a row. 5.9 fantasy points, 7.1, and then 0.0 fantasy points. But then bounces back with 3 of his 4 games over 12 fantasy points and average of 18% target share. So that's just a confusing, started off decent, really bad stretch, and a critical point for dynasty managers and fantasy managers. They were really counting on. They were getting excited. We felt it on Rookie Fever. People were excited about Rashad Bateman, how he's being integrated in. And then he really let people down. People started him in lineups, and they got those disappointing weeks. And Lamar Jackson also has taken a step back. I think it's safe to say the last 2 seasons, he's taken a step back from where he was in the MVP season. He's dealt with injuries. He hasn't been able to play on the field, and that hurts that offense. And then also, too, the argument that we heard, we talked about it on the show in the offseason. Hey, what happens if Baltimore throws the ball more? Well, the conditions for Baltimore to throw the ball were perfect for that this season. The defense disappointed. They threw the ball more on offense, and their top three running backs got injured.
Yeah.
Like there was a perfect storm to throw the ball more, and that was Rashad Bateman. So there's just like this confusion all around Baltimore. They didn't get rid of the offensive coordinator. He's back, I believe. But I still think he's a good player. I watch him. I think he makes good plays. I think he's going to have opportunity this year. I mean, he's going to have to deal with Mark Andrews and Mark Hollywood Brown, but I think he's good. I still thought he was a great prospect. I'm just confused.
Yeah, it's a rough spot to be. I mean, I didn't even mention Mark Andrews earlier when I spoke of him. And I mean, there's just only so much to go around at the end of the day.
And I agree with Spice. They're going to probably run the ball more this year. Then I say to myself, well, opportunity to be a high scoring offense. Lamar Jackson throws a lot of TDs. It's a high TD rate.
They were third in rushing in the entire league. Are they going to run more?
Yeah, because that's what that offense does.
So they go from 3 to 1.
I mean, how many yards did they have this year on the ground?
2,500.
Previously, they had like 3,000 and then 3,200.
They're at 2,500 right now.
Probably the lowest they've had since Shanahan was there.
Right. Trying to make the argument that they still ran a lot. That's all. Yeah. It sound like they were just passing bonkers. I was just trying to say, they're down, yes, but let's not exaggerate how far down that is.
I didn't mean to point it that way. I'm just trying to say of the situation of not that, you know, they were in a lot of tight games. Their defense was poor. They had to throw the ball at times. And so that's why I'm saying, like, it was an optimal situation to throw the ball more. And I don't see that happening again next season.
I agree with that. It was optimal. And they still rush the ball this many times. So when it becomes less optimal, to your point, and Bateman has to share with Brown and vice versa, there just might not be enough meat on the bone.
And so all the people who loved him, I actually get the feeling that people are really down on him. I was actually surprised by his ADP. It was like 24, 32 in a couple places. I thought it was like 40s. That's where I thought he was. So I was actually surprised that I get the feeling that people are really down on him. Swags, we talked about on Voxer. You couldn't get Amon-Ra straight up for him.
No.
You know?
No.
So I get the feeling that
people offers for Amon-Ra St. Brown. They want too much, man. I thought I liked him a lot, but then you're just like, okay, like, I don't know if you like him that much or if you really, what's going on here, but I'm not giving you that. Like, so when it gets like that and somebody you really like a lot, and it's not because I'm trying to be cheap and get that deal that I think Amon-Ra St. Brown deserves. I'm not even saying he deserves one. It's kind of when you get to that point when you're like, okay, no, like I'm fine with my team. I might want him too bad if I'm going to accept this now.
Sure.
My team's fine. I don't need this particular wide receiver just because he's a Detroit Lion that I'm crushing on. But I still like him. That's not me coming off of Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's saying all of y'all, like, you're going to get stuck with him in times when you don't like him as much as other people if you want to play silly games.
Ooh, what an episode.
Dave, when is it not?
I don't know. I just felt it today.
I'm feeling it. Well, I'm going to sign off. I am at Swagzilla0G. He is at ArtVarkTV. This is at Rookie Fever. At FF_Spaceman is taking us out of here.
So, guys, I actually prepared for a final thoughts. I think this is my first ever prepared final thoughts. In true fashion, I didn't prepare to the nth degree. You know, I didn't get all nerdy with it. But, I prepared for this, and it's because this is going to be – I am stepping away from Rookie Fever. It's not – I'm not happy about it. I am a very tough decision. I really value my relationship with Swags and Finero, and I've told them a lot privately, but I also want to say a little bit too on the air, just to Swags. I want everyone to hear, I want our listeners to hear this too, but I think you're an extremely talented host of this show. Sometimes, you know, with your tone and just how you flow, it makes it sound like you're not necessarily trying, like it comes natural, but then off air, we see how much effort you put into it, how much thought you go into trying to make things better. And just how much you work at your craft as being a podcast host and how much you value it and setting people up and transitioning. I have a ton of respect for you for that. And then also, you know, and then looking outside of just how you are as a host, you're an incredibly skilled fantasy manager and you play in a different way that I do. The way you make trades happen, I'm jealous of. I wish I could think like you did, like you do with trades. I just can't do it like you do. And the time that I've been listening and on the show with you, I've learned to try to soak up as much of that as possible. But I also have a lot of respect for how you beat your own, how you march your own drum, ride your own wave, like you've been saying the last month or so. But then that's all just super fantasy wise from that angle and from the show level. But two, as friends, we've gotten close the last year and a half. And what you have, you know, the support that you have given me personally, you know, dad advice, telling stories, sharing things that, you know, stories that happen with you and your kids. I've gotten a lot out of it. And the support you give me, you give Finero, it's just means a lot. I have a lot more to say, but I'm already running long on time here on you. So I just want to, so thank you, Swags.
Quite honestly, like you, I'd probably get emotional if it went on too much more. Like I didn't even really want to unmute. Like, and no, I don't even know how to follow that, Dave. I can't tell you how much I appreciate everything you just said and like the conversations, like you said, that we've already had in Voxer. And, yeah, it's not going to be the same without you. I mean, this show kicked ass tonight. The whole time I'm freaking thinking that. And like we've said before, even within our final thoughts, is like sometimes like we all know something you don't know, but we've always been able to just hit the mic and take it like professionals. And tonight was no different. And when you came to Rookie Fever, we absolutely weren't looking for you or anybody. There was never supposed to be a third person on Rookie Fever. It happened naturally, organically. Side conversations from Finero and I being like, wow, how was that chemistry so good? Man, we've had so many great people on this show. And I'm sorry, but there was something just a little different when Dave hit the mic with us the first night. And Finero and I were talking about it that night. And then the next day. And then we're like, well, let's get him back on. You know, like, let's see if that was for real. And then we got him back on without even really talking to Dave about what we were actually doing a couple more times before we were like, yeah, see, that seemed for real. Like, and I don't think that just happens. It just did. I'm not saying Dave doesn't build chemistry with other people. Dave's not an awesome guy. I'm not saying any of that, but I've done this with enough people to know that that first time Dave hit the mic with us was special, and we put together some awesome shit.
Yeah, man, I don't want to get, like you said, I don't want to get emotional here, but it is emotional. And I, you know, I appreciate you saying that, man.
But when I mean it, like we never talked about having a third person on this show.
You know, I'll wrap up, kind of like put a little, not a bow, but just kind of end it by saying
nice about Finero.
No. End that, this little sidebar here, and just say that it meant a lot. I know I told you guys 12 days ago, I think, that I was stepping away. We haven't shared anything on social media or anything like that. You know, I think we've gone about our, you know, this, we planned on this last show or, you know, before I step away. And you guys gave me, this is hanging over us, our heads per se, but to have it just feel like a regular show, having fun, laughing and getting good content at the same time, I think that listeners are going to enjoy, and valuable information too. It means a lot to me that you guys gave that to me and give me a good feeling coming away. Because when I told you guys, I had a really bad feeling when I told you guys that I was stepping away. I did not feel good at all saying that. I feel like I was letting you guys down, and I don't want to get into that stuff because I want this to end on a, like, be positive. But
it's a lot. Yeah.
Thank you guys for giving me all of us tonight.
Like, it's a lot. It's a big change for everybody, I think.
So thank you guys for this tonight. But two, I want to, not second fiddle at all in my heart, you know, Dave, it's Finero.
But I appreciate you so much. And I mean, like I've said to you before, like I'm in your corner, dude. If you ever need anything, I don't even know if I'm the kind of person that can help your trajectory and like with everything you're doing, but nothing but respect, Dave. Like, Rookie Fever's here. I don't think this is the last time you guys are going to hear Dave on this feed.
I don't want it to be. I do not want it to be. So thank you, Swags. Thank you. Like everything I said, but just thank you. So. And now Finero, now I think you're also a damn good fantasy player in your own right. And I've told you this. And I, you know, I reached out to Finero and Swags, and then he came up, he messaged me and he said, hey, can you actually call me on the phone? And I think that just showed too, you know, like kind of the person that Finero was. He's like, hey, and the kind of relationship that we've built, he's like, hey, I want to talk on the, like this, you know, we're not just these fantasy people living off in virtual reality here. Like this is worth a real phone call. And I really appreciate that, talking on him. We had some laugh. We laughed a lot. We just kind of shot the shit. And it was just like kind of hanging out, which even though it was difficult for me personally, that meant a lot. But I think Finero bleeds Rookie Fever. I made a joke to him, you know, to them in an email that I think he has Rookie Fever tattooed all over his body. Like if he was taking off his shirt right now, he'd have a huge Rookie Fever logo or something tattooed there. I've been told, I was actually just randomly, Rookie Fever came up on a video call I was on like last weekend, and I had multiple people telling me how much they love Nothing Is in a Vacuum rant. It is my all-time favorite moment on a podcast. I was not on that podcast. I was a listener when I first heard the Nothing Is in a Vacuum It is my favorite moment on a podcast. I love it. I say it randomly in my head, like something in school, like if I'm at work and I think nothing is a vacuum and it's in him, like I'm saying it in his voice. So
it's absolutely changed the meaning of nothing in a vacuum to you, to where like you can hardly look at a vacuum without thinking about Finero.
I don't like my cordless vacuum I got for Christmas. I'll just say that
because I can't even look at the same. But yeah, absolutely. No. There's something about it when now it's just like there's nothing in a vacuum. I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you, dude. Sorry.
But I think what I really value about Finero too is he's really good at taking information that Swags and I say, guests say, what he does his research on the outside. He pulls in his own stats and he synthesizes it all and he provides his own unique opinion. And he's not just parroting what other people say and brings a voice that is valuable to Rookie Fever. And I think he's a hell of an analyst, hell of a part of this show. And, I've talked to this about, I think on air in some final thoughts, off air with you guys, but Rookie Fever, has meant a lot to me and fantasy football has meant a lot to me. I've gone through, our miscarriage with my wife with our first pregnancy was very challenging. And the friendship, the support that you guys, when my wife was pregnant and we had our baby and the support, like, hey, Dave, we got this. You go be a dad. You go do that stuff. We've got it when you come back. And they were no sweat. The support you guys gave me and the friendship means a lot. And I'm actually talking about a little bit more about myself than I wanted to in this final moments. But I cannot stress how much I've learned from being on the show. The things that I'm going to take away when I'm on a podcast or if I'm creating content, how I've learned a lot, how you guys approach shows, how you look at something different. Like you guys just talk about freaking rookies and you can do it 365 days a year. You guys show up every week. Rookie Fever plays every week. That is hard. The right episode, what's tonight? So it's 227, 228.
I think we're the 228 or 229. I mean, We're probably going to pump out 70 to 80 shows a year if we're talking about it.
You guys do not miss a week. I'm on Tale of Two Rivals. We miss weeks. We miss a month. You guys show up and you do it to the audience. And I have a lot of respect for you guys. So that I want to keep talking, but I don't want to just drone on here for the audience because I do want to say some things about the audience, the support that they provide, the show, the listeners, the rookie profiles that had last year and the feedback we got about how people, that was the first show that they wanted to turn on. They got pumped up 3 days a week listening to Rookie Profiles and what they're looking forward to with this year. We've gotten people reaching out to be on Rookie Fever Profile. They want to do it. They want to be a part of the show. Yeah. Just the audience and the praise, the feedback. Some people are like, hey, Dave, you presented it this way. I noticed this and I don't think you got your point across this way. I'll get some personal feedback. Just what an incredible audience. And the story from freaking the expo was amazing where so thank you to the audience. But most importantly, thank you to you guys. This isn't about me not wanting to be on Rookie Fever. It's just, there's some projects that I am really, really want to do. And I have had a crunch for time and I just can't do everything. And that's what's kind of it is, but it's not that we had a hell of a time tonight, hell of a time every time we talk. And hopefully this is not my last time on Rookie Fever airwaves. And I will still be a listener. And that's how it was first. When I came on the show, guys, I was a listener first. I'm still going to be a listener. And Rookie Fever means a lot to me. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, this relationship's meant a lot to me too, Dave. Hopefully our listeners are still with us. I think they are because they can hear it come from your heart. And I think that's something that people have a hard time stopping. Listening and just feeling. And I think I took that for granted, what you mentioned earlier about, would the show be the same? I think I was a little nervous about that, but not really ever like on a conscious level, because as soon as we hit the mic, we just did our thing. It wasn't like a thought. Like I said, I don't even know if it was ever a thought in my consciousness. Like I was actually worried, wait, the crescendo moment at the end of the show is Dave telling our listeners he's leaving. And
I was probably more worried for this moment than the show.
That sounds about accurate. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, man, I think Rookie Fever was lucky to have you for the amount of time that we did. And the Pro Bowls last year were a ton of fun and I have awesome memories. And we're still going to be in great communication. And like Swag said, I doubt this is going to be the very last time you're going to be on this show.
Every few weeks or so here. Just you wait. We're going to tease you with it.
So thank you, everyone that's listened, that's feedback, added us, retweeted. Just thank you. Thank you to the whole Rookie Never Fever experience. It's meant a lot to me personally.
Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
Who got the 101 scouting? It's never done this stupid throw and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just unreal. Landing spot not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the
fever.
This isn't my first rookie fever.
My fucking last. Yeah, but it is your last.